Everybody? I think we're in pair, give him a plus $1. So Yane is at the outskirts of the city. The pasuk says, "Vayachal Yane lava be'ir," and Yane began. Vayachal is like a lashon tefila. He began to enter the city. Mahalach yom echad, one day's journey. Vayikra, and he called out Vayim, and he said, "You'll notice there's no Musa here." Oida boim yom, in another 40 days, v'ninve nehepeches nehepeches. Nineveh is to be overturned. So there's no conditions. It's over. It's over. It's a done deal. He didn't say, if you do this and this. He just said, he went one day into the city and he foretold of their ultimate doom.
So what's the issue with the pasuk?
There's no issues.
Oh, okay.
So right now we have the problem because we had in the previous pasuk, we had a machlekes. How big the city was. The Ibn Ezra holds that the city was a journey of one day from one end to the other. So in this pasuk it says he went into the city one day. That means he went from one end of the city to the other. And that's very easy to understand because he wanted everyone to hear his message. So he started at one end of the city. So you look at the city like a circle. So there's a diameter and he crossed the diameter of the circle and he went from one end to the other and that was one day. And the pasuk that says that the city was 3 days journey, that's if you go around the parameters, the perimeter of the circle, the circumference. But the Barbanel said that the city takes 3 days to go from one end of the city to the other. So according to him, so you have to understand, but he didn't, that means he went in and he didn't say anything. He walked for a whole day without saying anything. If you have a mitzvah to give over a message to a city, as soon as you get into the city, your mitzvah is calling you. You're not just advertising that you're selling sweatshirts.
Yeah, but for one person to go around, say, to let the whole city know, one person, you know how long it would take to let everyone know? But if you go to the center of town,
okay, but
put it in the newspapers.
Do both.
Meaning?
It works. You listen to a random
get
guy
as many
walking
as
up
as
to you
can.
Saying,
he was not. No, he was not. He was not a random guy. He had a whole entourage. No, they took his words very seriously.
Yeah, whole entourage.
As you will see, we'll see later.
He just got spit out of a whale. He was just flying 965 parts.
I know.
Maybe he was walking in the whale.
Barely had his clothes on.
Yeah, we'll get to it. The Malbim explains that Yaina received the nevuah that the city is going to be destroyed in 40 days. But he didn't know when the countdown started. He himself wasn't, a Navi that gets Nevuah. Not everything is always clear to him. And he has to interpret his Nevuah. It's like you work on a Sugya. A Navi has to work on the Nevuah. And a Navi can make, the Navi Shekhar could be fooled. This is a thing called a Navi Shekhar. He sees something. He could be fooled and make a mistake. A Navi Emes doesn't make mistakes. But he has to work very hard to avoid mistakes. And not everything is clear. You have to use logic. You have to use a tremendous amount of energy and dedication to arrive at the Dvar Hashem, to arrive at the truth of Dvar Hashem. And he wasn't sure. Now, he knew it takes 3 days to go from one end of the city to the other, so he has three possibilities, the first day, the second day, the third day. So he picked the middle one. He felt out of the 3 days, that was the most logical one, that the chiyuv was on him to give over the message. There's two ways we can look at it, pre-Malbim and post-Malbim. Pre-Malbim, Hashem commanded him to give the message over. And the chiyuv is calling him right away. So as soon as he goes into the city, he has a mitzvah seder aisa. He should start talking right away. But the Malbim says that he had a suffix himself when the chiyuv started. Hashem, it wasn't clear to him when it started. So he used his svara that the chiyuv, if it's 3 days journey, so the Mistama Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him to start giving over the message when he gets to the middle. For the reasons that Eliezer said. For the reasons that Eliezer said, the difference between what you're saying and what the Malbim said is you're saying that he's chayiv and he's chayiv, it's just that he's using his own logic when to implement his chayiv. And the Malbim says that his suffix was when his chayiv starts. And that makes all the difference. So he figured that the 40 days start from the second day when he goes into the city. So you can't say it early, because you can't change the text in the Nebuah. If he would say it a day earlier, he'd have to say in 41 days. And he can't say that because he wasn't commanded to say that. So he went
across the whole thing. He's saying the whole time.
That's right.
Could you say around 40 days? Does he have to be exact?
So when did he?
You know, you find a precedent for that by Moshe Rabbeinu, but he had his own reasons for doing that.
Right. Moshe Rabbeinu said around.
But that was different. The circumstances were much different because the room for error is so much greater. All you have to be is off by a moment. But here it's 40 days. 39 is not 40, and 41 is not 40.
The mistake they made at Har Sinai, 40 nights.
That's right. So this is you could make a kuntras on these things. So Yerni didn't want to have that. He didn't want any mistakes. He wanted to make sure that the day he said it, they're going to do it. If he's off, so then there's going to be one day. If he's off, so they're going to count 40 days. If he starts a day earlier or a day later. You know, a day earlier it's different. You know, a day earlier, they're going to get destroyed a day earlier. They're going to say, well, you know, hey, it's not fair. You said you destroy us in 40 days, so we put off Tshuva till the last day, and now you did it earlier. It's just, you know, your guy holds a gun to somebody's head. I'll give you 10 seconds to make up your mind. 10, 9, 8, and then he shoots him in the head. That's also Chil Hashem. That's also Chil Hashem. So Yaina, he used the Kei HaSfar, he used his Torah reasoning, the logic of Torah reasoning, to determine when it's going to start. The older Rishonim asked the next question. This is something which is dealt with at length in the Rishonim. Yehoshua says it's going to be overturned in 40 days. It wasn't overturned in 40 days.
So much.
It wasn't.
Okay,
so does that make Yehoshua a liar? Did Hashem reveal something to Yehoshua? Chas v'shalom, that didn't come true.
As of now, the way it is, the decree is that it's going to be...
What does that mean?
We have it all the time, yeah.
No, we don't.
Don't?
Usually there's, im b'chu kreisha teleichu, v'im leibit, then Hashem says, im leibichu kreisha teleichu, he speaks out both sides of the coin. He says, you do good, you get good, you do bad, then that's not good. But here, there was a flat-out statement. Remember, there was no mister, no background, no frilly lacework around the edges. You're gonna be overturned in 40 days. It's over. By Stein, the Malachim said, "Mashkitzim anachnu samakim." We're turning it over. They didn't even warn Stein. There was no chance for Stein. They came in and they told Light, "We're turning this place over." They didn't even tell the people of Stein. Over.
So you can learn a couple there.
Yeah, but
it didn't happen.
It did not happen. Now, there's a number of approaches. I'm sure you could think of some of them. There's a number of approaches. So one approach which he brings is that it was a condition that, like you said, well, now you're going to be overturned because now you are you, meaning the city. The city is Rishayim. But the Barbano brings this approach. He doesn't agree with it. He knocks it down. He said, "But if you change your ways, of course, it's not meant." The Barmanel says that if that's what Hashem meant, then I would have said it. As we find many times, Hashem does say that. But Chizk,
So what does that mean? That he was making them up?
That means there was no condition made. The Barmanel, based on this, on the lack of any mention, the omission of any condition, so then that tells us that there was no condition. It was not conditional. So he rejects that approach. He said if there was no condition mentioned, then there was no condition. If there's no condition, then it has to come true. So the Barbanel says, especially when you're talking to Gayim. He said if it would be a mission to the Yidden, Chas v'Shalom, we don't wish this on the Yidden, but if it would be a mission to the Yidden, and we get such a thing, every Jew knows automatically that there's always a way out. Every Jew knows that. No matter how far you've gone, you could always come back. By Goyim, there's such a thing as eternal damnation. That's part of their religion. You know, the Christians, they doom people to purgatory. Like, I had a physics teacher. What?
It doesn't mean.
Well, the point is that the Rabbanan says this. If you're sending a message to Goyim and you mean that it's conditional, then to Goyim especially you have to say it explicitly because it's not self-understood. What he's saying is even though by Jews it might be self-understood, but by Goyim it's not self-understood because by them there is a point of no return. That's part of their beliefs. It's part of their belief system. And my physics teacher told me that for hundreds of years, people that ate meat during Lent were doomed to purgatory eternally, eternal damnation.
What?
And eternal damnation. They ate meat during Lent. There's a period of time.
Lent.
It's called Lent.
Lent is.
It's okay. You don't have Baruch Hashem. You don't know. And I'm not going to educate you. But whatever it is, a bunch of Christians are supposed to be burning in eternal damnation. Eternal. That means it's over. Eternal damnation. Eat meat during Lent. Eternal damnation. Don't ask me to start working out the contradictions. You know, Baruch Hashem, it's not one of the areas I'm proficient in. The only reason I know this is because my physics teacher told me. Then they had some kind of ecumenical congress, you know, and they repealed it. So now people that eat meat during Lent are not doomed to purgatory eternally. So my physics teacher says, either it's eternal or it's not eternal. He said, what happens to all the people that have been doomed to eternal damnation? Do they let them out now? Yeah, you know, like, hey, you know, for hundreds of years they're there forever, and now all of a sudden you could do it. So they let them out? Do, you know, is there early release? Is there amnesty? Like, get out of jail free? Help? You know, yeah. This is a. But they have this concept. That you know, if you they have it, and this it's not, you know, it's not necessarily part of Christian theology. It just happens to be. It's part of being a guy. A guy doesn't. A guy doesn't have, he's not in contact with that part of himself that can never be defiled. A Jew isn't, you know, we are in touch with that part of ourselves. Every Jew knows deep down, no matter how far you've gone, you can come back. So Rabbi Benel said this, and he says, you're talking to guy, and you got to speak their language. You have to speak, you know, and if there was no condition said, then there's no condition implied, that means there was no condition.
Yeah, but Yonah didn't really say when it's going to start. Yonah's like, in 40 days more. No,
40 days, so the Babylon, 40 days from the second day he walked into the city. He said, you know, he made the calculation. Oid arboim yayim, finin vein epochas. So he says, tupshatim. And they're not mutually exclusive of one another. They could coexist peacefully side by side. The first pshat that Babylon says is that epochas has two meanings to it. Nepochus does not mean destroyed. Nepochus means overturned. It means an upheaval. It means a revolution. In 40 days, this city has to have a revolution. This city has to be overturned. That means that any value that they hold high, they have to step on. And any, this is the first shot. The word nepochus does not necessarily have to mean destroyed. The word nepochus could mean destroyed. Literally, take the city, lift it up, turn it over. Just like Stein. What?
But it's the same thing as overturned, destroyed and overturned.
But the same lesson.
Now, pachas means overturned. The word overturned has two possibilities to it.
Is it the same lesson as the
connotations? But
yes. But by Stein, he never said anything to Stein. By Stein, he never gave them the option.
Right.
But here, he's saying this city is going to be overturned in 40 days' time. One way or another.
Tshuva or not.
That's it. You know, like, you know the Maestro with Rabbi Kivager. In short, there was someone that didn't want to give his wife a get. And he threw off from himself the yoke of Torah Mitzvahs. Rabbi Kivager summoned him to his house. And he endeavored to convince him to give his wife a get, letter free. He wasn't living with his wife anyway. As man and wife, he went on. He was going his own way, and he refused. He said, "You have no hold over me. You have no jurisdiction. I can do what I want." And Rabbi Kivager says the Mishnah condition says that a woman is Haisha kindness atzma b'shtei drachem. A woman acquires her freedom in one of two ways. Beget or b'mis sabal, with divorce or with the husband's death. He said, it's your choice. It's your choice. You know, she's going to get free. The Torah says there's two ways she can get free. It's your choice. Get a misabal. Which one do you want? So the guy scoffed at Rabbi Akiva. He walked out. He tripped on the threshold on his way out. Hit his head and died. It's a true story. It's going to be overturned. There's no other option. And it's in Kachaber. At the end of 40 days, they were unrecognizable.
He doesn't use the same motion.
No, but when it actually came true, it says, Vayafech es kol ha'arim. When they implemented it. The other pshat, which Rabbi Avinu says, is an interesting one. The first thing he says is the word yayim has an alternate meaning. It sometimes means a year. I mean, it's more commonly used as a day. You write, it's coming up, the parsha of Eliezer getting Rivka, bringing her back to Yitzchak. So the Lavan, Rivka's brother, endeavored to press upon Eliezer the importance of letting her stay at home for a little while. She's still young. Yeah, we'll send her later. He tried to prevent the marriage. And he said, Teshev anar itano yamim achadim. Let her stay with us a few years. Because I'll say the word yamim does not mean a few days. Lavan wasn't trying to keep her for a few days. He was trying to keep her for a few years. Let her stay for you. The word yamim over there, Hashem's in that context, what?
Hashem's yom is,
Elav shanim. Yom Kiyam Esmol, right. Hashem, right. Hashem's Yom is 1,000 years.
Right, no.
But that's related. It is related. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's different because that's Hashem's, concept. That's Hashem's concept. But it is related. You see, the word day means years. There's a halacha about redeeming a field that you were makdish by hektish. Yomim kidei gulasai. That you have 2 years in which you could redeem it from hektish. And the word Yamim is used to denote 2 years. Yamim is year. Yamim means plural. So Barbara says the word Yamim in this pasuk could mean year. It could mean years.
At the end of 40 years, was it destroyed?
Next. The word Oid means more. The Lashna pasuk. The Lashna pasuk is Oid Abayim Yamim. Oid. It's even more. These are the numerical value of the gematria word oid is 80. So you have arboim yayim, which is 40 years. Because the word, and then you have oid is 80 more. So you have 80 years plus 40 years.
Could it be double, which is 40, the total? 80?
No,
double
the gematria of oid is 80.
Had they not done tshuva, they would have only been destroyed.
That means
that a long time.
He makes a calculation. What? I'm sorry.
If they had not done tshuva, they would have been destroyed a long time from now. Like, not 40 days. It would have been years and years.
If they had not done tshuva, then they would have been destroyed in 40 days. And the tshuva that they did
turned it into,
pushed it off for 120 years. So the words Eid Arboim Yayim have two meanings. And they're both true. And, you know, Eid Arboim Yayim could be the way we understand it on the surface. In 40 days, the city is going to be destroyed. Because the word Napachas means destroyed. This is, you know... Or it could mean in 120 years it's going to be destroyed. What's going to determine whether it's 40 days or 120 years? Whether they do tshuva. Now, of course, there was something lacking in the tshuva, because if they would have done a total tshuva, then we would have to have a third shot in these words.
Why?
Because then even in 120 years they wouldn't be destroyed if they did a real tshuva. They did a cosmetic tshuva. And the cosmetic tshuva gave them another 120 years.
That doesn't answer why he didn't give a condition.
There is no condition. this pasuk will come true no matter what. There is no condition. This pasuk will...
Not if they had a tshuva
shlem. Tshuva... No, we'd have to have another pshat in the pasuk. There'd be another one. Maybe that would be the first pshat. There is no conditions. Either by me and even a Packers, this is going to happen. Now he makes a calculation that year, our Bayim Yam is 40 years, Oyed is another 80, because the Gemati of Oyed is 80. He makes a calculation that the 120 years after Yana went to Nineveh was the first year of the Chaldean king, the king of the Chaldean, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar and Melech Bavel. And he's the one that destroyed. He destroyed Nineveh. He destroyed Nineveh. It's 120 years later. Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, was in his first year, was 120 years after Yonah approached the city of Nineveh. So Barbanel said, this is mamish. Mamish. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. It's going to happen. Now, the Malbim, there's a very long Malbim on this Pasuk. And I really, if you want to see it, go look it up yourself. He goes to he makes a calculation. Whoa. The Malbim makes a calculation that Nebuchadnezzar's reign was not 120 years after, Nineveh. And he rejects the Pshat of the Baba Nam based on that. He says, it's just not true. The math doesn't work out. And he brings proofs. It's a lengthy Malbim, and he goes to the proofs that demonstrate that it's not 120 years, and therefore he reverts back to the original pshat that it was conditional. It was conditional. And he addresses the concerns of the Babino. No condition was expressed. They don't have this as part of their culture, and the Babino says they might not have it in their culture. The condition was a silent condition. But there is wisdom among the Goyim. And if they're just like Stein, which means that there's no way out, there's no chance to do tshuva, so now Hashem would have done it just like Stein, send the Malach in and do it. Yeah, when the Israelis blew up the Iraqi nuclear reactor, did they tell them ahead of time they were going to do it? Did they? Did they announce it?
I don't think so.
Why? Because they didn't want them to prevent it. They want it to be a sure thing. Mm. If Hashem is announcing it, and he's sending a Navi to them, then they understand he's giving them a chance. That is the expressed condition. There is a condition being expressed. That's the Malbim's word. Like we said in the very first, or the second shir, we said Hashem doesn't send a Navim to Goyim. He doesn't. And the Goyim know this because they've never had a Navi come to them before.
What's that thought?
Hashem sent a Navi to them. That is that's the embodiment of the condition. That's called a nonverbal message. You heard of it as a nonverbal message. That's a nonverbal message, but it's just as loud and strong as it is an express condition. Then the mom says his own pshat. Another pshat. And he says,
what's wrong with this pshat?
There's nothing wrong with it. He has another pshat. He says, the next pshat has something in it which you might not understand. This pshat is pashup pshat. This is the pashup pshat that he meant, You're going to be destroyed in 40 days' time if you're the same way that you are now. He makes a calculation that 40 years after this prophecy, in the time of King Hizkiah was 40 years after, the time of, right to the mountain. It's in the 15th year of Hizkiah's reign. So in Assyria, they surrounded Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was besieged. It was hopeless. It was a hopeless situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them in a miraculous manner. The Malachim sang Shira. They sang our praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That type of Shira can only be heard by some. This is Sam Kair of Melech Ashura. Ruzradin was the actual Churban, This was before the Churban. And the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the ears of the Assyrians. He allowed them to hear it. I mean, you know what happens when you plug an American appliance into an Israeli outlet without a converter.
Yeah, there's a smoke.
You never do that again. A human being that his ears are exposed to the Shira of Malachim, especially human beings that their whole life is dedicated to obliterating the covet of Hashem in this world. You know, that was their life's goal, that there should never be any mention of Hashem in this world. Hashem's covet, the Assyrians were dedicated to that, to wiping out all traces of Hashem's covet. So that means that they had the antithesis of the praise of the Malachim. And they died. Chizkiyah and Melech woke up in the morning, they were all dead. And that was 40 years afterwards.
Where's that part then?
This isn't what? Yeah, this Ramadi Yatsunavi. That's a Malachim. The Shiras Malachim is a Medrash, which is a Yalkut Shemaini. I saw it in Yalkut Shemaini. It's a collection of Midrashim. Wrote it down. Malachim.
Is it possible it could have been 121 years at all? Is there a...
No, so the Mal makes a Cheshbin. So he makes a series. He says, Oida Boim Yer. Oida Boim Yer. So he says Yaim means years, just like the Rabbi now. Mm-hmm. He doesn't utilize the word Eid. He doesn't add the 80 years. Because he says it's not going to bring you to a date that's significant anyway. He disagrees with the Abarbanel's version. So he said, Eid means in another. He takes the word literally, Eid. Arboim is 40, Yaim is years. Ninveh Napachas, the Assyrian army is going to meet their downfall. Now the flaw with this pshat, and the Malbim points this out himself, is that Nineveh wasn't destroyed in 40 years' time. The army dropped dead in 40 years' time. So, you know, the words Nineveh and Apachas aren't, you know, really applicable because the city itself was not destroyed in 40 years' time. That was much later.
When was it?
But he says that since Nineveh was the seat of the monarchy, you know, that was like Washington, D.C. That was Buckingham Palace. That was, you know, that was Versailles.
Right.
So when the entire army drops dead, so then that could be appropriately referred to as the fall of Nineveh. You know, when the entire army is totally decimated, you know, down, you know, there wasn't a single survivor. I mean, Sennacherib was the only one that survived, and his children killed him. You know, they committed regicide later. So there was no survivors from this. So that the Torah said Nineveh as a power has ceased. Ninveh Nepachas, because there's no longer any power if you don't have an army. So Ninveh Nepachas, that's the pshatim. Let's go on to Pasuk. Hey, Rabbi Sai. So what was the reaction? Vayamina wanchi Ninveh Belahim. And the men of Ninveh believed in Hashem. You'll notice the Shem Elohim here, because Elohim is the name that is used when Hashem relates the world with the meat of justice, retribution. Vayikru Tzayim, they proclaimed a fast. No one should eat, no food should pass their lips. Vayilbushu Sakim, they adorned themselves with sackcloth, which is made of goat hair. It's very rough, it's uncomfortable. Migdaila Vaktanam, the adults as well as the minors, which is a chiddush, you know, the minors. They didn't do anything wrong. Minors. Why did they believe? Why did they believe?
Guilty conscience.
Their king was Paro, right? So like Paro.
That's one shot. Yes, that is one shot. If the king was Paro, then it's a very good reason why they believe. Because he saw Kriyas Yamsuf. And as you saw on the test, I asked you that question about the significance of Kriyas Yamsuf. I mean, there's a bunch of very imaginative answers, but this is one I don't know if you thought of. I mean, Paro, the people of Nineveh did Tshuva because Paro was their king, and he did Tshuva because he escaped from Kriyas Yamsuf. So that was part of what Hashem showed you. All right, that's just another answer, along with the other good ones. Paro not only did Tshuva, but you'll see, he personally did Tshuva, but he brought them all the tshuva. But not everyone agrees that it was Paro. And There's other. Medrash is his power. Devin Ezra says that the sailors preceded Yonah to Nineveh. They were there. They were on their way to Tarshish. They threw Yonah overboard. The storm abated. And they didn't go to Tarshish. They went to Nineveh and they got there before Yonah.
They went to get their families to be in the country.
They wanted to spread the word. They knew Yonah was supposed to. They did that also. They're versatile. Now, their reactions were swift, immediate. They went to Nineveh, and they went to Nineveh to tell them because they were concerned. They knew the Yonah was going to go to Nineveh. And they wanted to be Mekadoshim Shemayim. They told the people of Nineveh all that they saw. So that's called confirmation. That's called confirmation.
Who says this one?
Devin Ezra. So we have two pshatim why they believed.
Second one was that they knew that Yonah was going to go to Nineveh. So
the other one was because Parah was the king.
Right, but I don't understand the second one so much. The second one.
Which one? Which one is the second one?
They knew that Yonah was going to go to Nineveh. So
the sailors preceded Yonah to Nineveh, and they spread the word in Nineveh that there's a miracle, you know, that there was a storm. They told them of the miracles of the storm. Then they dipped them in. The storm stopped. They pulled them out. You know, everything. They told them all of the details.
Right.
And the people of Nineveh were prepared. They knew Yonah was coming. They knew he was coming. They were expecting him to come. And he came. So he took it seriously. And of course, you could say another pshat, which is also the Evan Ezra, that if they were Iragdaila because they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, like the Evan Ezra Shita, that would be another reason. They didn't worship Avodah Zarah, so of course they're going to, you know. I mean, the Kasha doesn't start according to that Evan Ezra. They didn't worship Avodah Zarah, so they weren't atheists. They worshipped Hashem. They had issues that they couldn't overcome their nature to steal things, and to, you know, but Avodah Zarah they didn't do. They knew the Emes.
Like
the
Arabs.
Believe some random person ranting and raving.
I don't think that Yonah ranted and raved.
What did he do?
He spoke like a Navi.
And I guess they knew what
a Navi spoke like.
These people sound like Arabs.
He spoke like a Navi. When a Navi spoke, you knew it was a Navi. Unless the Navi didn't want you to know he was a Navi. Navi who? Now you'll see in this that the tshuva took place in stages. Vayikru Tzom, that was a grassroots movement. When the Radak says that, Vayikru Tzom, who declared a fast? Says that they all fasted. That was like immediate reaction. They just fasted. Let's fast. Come on, let's fast immediately. And there was no organized effort to declare Vayikru Tzom. It was from from the bottom up. That's the initial stage. That's the Radak. The Mom points out it doesn't say that they did anything to rectify anything they did wrong in this pasuk.
The first thing is to have chart.
The first thing is to return the thing you stole. Because every moment you have that is a misser. You know, a god of steals something, so say, I would like to return it, but I have to feel real charat until I return it. It's going to take a few days. I mean, if you could do it immediately, so you could do it simultaneously, the giving back could be the charata. But they didn't do anything. They just immediately, it's fast. And so, you know, if there was another reaction that could have taken place, as soon as they hear in 40 days Nineveh is going to be overturned, oh my gosh, what do we do wrong? What do we do wrong now? And that wasn't the reaction. Okay, let's fast. The Malbim points out that's a reaction of someone that doesn't really want to change his ways. They're looking for some way out. Maybe if we fast and God won't destroy us, and we'll be able to keep doing what we're doing.
According According to Pshat, it says that they worship the Avodah Zarah. What does it mean by Yemina Beleke?
People that worship Avodah Zarah don't worship Avodah Zarah to the exclusion of Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar called Hashem Elokad Elohaya, the power behind the Avodah Zarah. They don't worship Hashem, even though they know He's true and all-powerful, because it requires too much of them. They can't determine, you know, Avodah Zarah has a certain attraction to it. That they could determine, right, it has a physical manifestation, and they can control it. You can't control Hashem. Avodah Zarah, you say who, you say what, you say why. Someone goes off into, you know, someone goes off into the desert, comes back, says, I had a vision. You know, it's like, it's the ultimate in control. It's a God mode. It's like, awesome. So, you know, this is the mom, and the mom says the truth is that, you know, Yaina didn't tell them that they were doing anything wrong. So in their minds, it could be they could even fool themselves that, yeah, we're doing things wrong, but that's not why this is happening. This is happening because God does these things. We don't understand God. He decides to wipe us out, and it has nothing to do with what we do. You know, the guy in the Hamas dichotomy. It was a school of thought. I mean, if you really want to go into this, you learn Sefer Eiv, and you learn about all the tribulations. The Yisuri Eiv, I mean, he went through Gehenna Mamash. And each one of his friends was trying to explain to him. They had their own slant on things. It's a beautiful representation of the different slices of the pie, the way people look at things. Hashem wants to destroy us. It has nothing to do with what we're doing. He wants to. So we'll fast. We're going to fast. Maybe He won't want to destroy us. But that we should change. Like,
maybe they know they're doing something wrong.
Doesn't matter. That's not why Hashem. That's not why Hashem is doing this. And Yonah, Varaya, Yonah didn't say anything. Did he say anything? He didn't say anything. Now this is the Malbim's. This is the Malbim's Mahalach. So Malbim says they really didn't have a clue. And the Malbim even he ends off in his commentary, like he says it's a pella, it's a wonder. It's a very strange that they didn't ask Yaina to prove himself by performing an Isar and Mephis. You know, we find by Gidon, a Malach came to Gidon. And he told him over at Dvar Hashem, and Gideon asked for an Isar and Mephis. You find examples in Tanakh that Navi was asked to perform an Isar and Mephis, some are more public than others. And here you have a whole entire city that turns over, and then they believe him, and the Malvim, he doesn't bring the Ebenezer's Pshat. He doesn't seem to learn like him. And he says, like, here someone comes, doesn't tell them why, doesn't tell them, you know, what's going on. And then they accept it, just like that. Like, he ends up with a question.
But if the sailors came, then they knew of the miracle.
That's the Ibn Ezra. The mom doesn't seem to work with that. The Barbanel. Now, Barbanel has a totally different mahalach in the Pasuk, not like the Ibn Ezra and not like the Malbim. And he answers this question. The Barbanel brings down, that there's those authorities, there's those commentators that they question why wasn't an Os or a Mophis sought from Yaina. The Barbanel says that you find it in the Torah, but you know where you find it? You find it when a Navi prophesizes something which goes against the Torah. Something that goes against the Torah. I'll give you an example. There were Nevi'ei HaBaal, people that worshipped the Baal, and the Baal had its prophets, and Eliyahu Navi set up a challenge on top of Har HaKarmel. He'll build a Mizbeach, they'll build a Mizbeach, he'll put a carbon on his Mizbeach, they'll put a carbon on his Mizbeach, he'll daven to Hashem, taking a dive into the Getchka, to Avodah Zarah. And we'll see who's the true ruler and who's the imposter, who's the fraud. That goes against the Torah. That does go against the Torah. That's called being Makav on a bummer.
Because you're testing God?
In the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, there was a Mishkan. Mishkan, you bring Kabbalah to the Mishkan. You can't bring a covenant above. So sometimes that, you need an Isar Mifus. But if a Navi comes to keep, to fortify people, to keep the Torah, the Bible says there's no need to ask for an Isar Mifus. That's natural. They know he's a Navi. He has an established reputation. His name is Yonah ben Amittai. Ben Amittai means that he had a reputation, that his Navuas came true. He had an established reputation. The guy knew it as well. We find that people ask for signs, for proof from Nevi'im. The Bible says that's only in certain cases where the Navi is saying something which goes against the grain. But if a Navi says something which goes with the flow,
what does that mean?
That means he's telling them to keep the Torah, rather than telling them to violate something which is written in the Torah.
He's saying something so extreme that you'd think they'd ask, how do you know, like, you're going to be destroyed. You know?
Yeah, so the Abarbanel says, as opposed to the Malbim, the Malbim says that Yaina just walked in and didn't say anything. He didn't tell them any reasons. The Malbim says he just told them the sentence, the death sentence. The Abarbanel disagrees with the Malbim. The Abarbanel says, of course he told them what they were doing wrong. And you can tell from the reaction, because they, you know, in the next pasuk they did correct certain things. And he said, how did they know what to correct? It must be that Yaina told them. So even though the pasuk didn't tell us that Yaina told them, but from the reaction, we see retroactively that Yaina did tell them. And what was the Avera? Chamas. Taking things from people against their will. That's Chamas. Thievery. The Rabbi Abinel says he did give them Musa. He gave them Techach, he rebuked them. And they believed in Elohim. Because Elohim is the God of justice. He's a judge. That's specifically why the Pasuk uses that name. Because God, as a judge, hates Geneva, hates Gezela, hates Hamas. That runs counter. It goes in the opposite direction to Mishpat, to justice. Justice dictates that what's Pliny's is Pliny's and what's Amini is Amini's. And Amini has no right to take Pliny's and Pliny has no right to take Amini's. That's unjust. That's a distortion. Geneva is a distortion. It's a distortion. You're destroying a standard. That's not justice. So when Yaina told them that the city is going to be overturned because of Hamas, and he revealed to them the reason. So this is something which they had no problem believing, because it just rang true. Sometimes you just hear, when you hear the truth, a human being has an innate sense of recognizing the truth when it's spoken. It clicks. When you hear the truth, you know it's the truth. So we have a number of pshatim in this pasuk. And then, and they could all work with one another on some level. Pasuk Vav. Vayiga Hadav El Melech. So now we're getting to the next stage of the tshuva. Vayiga Hadav El Melech. The king found out about it. It arrived. It reached the king. El Melech Nineveh, the king of Nineveh. So until now, whatever happened before now, the king wasn't aware of. It spread. And it reached the ears of the king immediately. But he didn't call for a council. He didn't assemble his ministers. Vayakam Mekisai, he got off his throne. He wouldn't sit on his throne anymore. No more. Vayavar Adatame Alav, he took off his royal cloak. He's not wearing his royal cloak. This is an immediate reaction. Vayichasak, he puts on sackcloth. Vayeshav al Efer, and he rolled in it. He sat in the dust.
So how could you say that the people believed because it was Pare? The Pare didn't hear about it until after the people already started.
Good point. I stand corrected. So I have to readjust that and say that they did a further tshuva. The initial tshuva was on the service, but when soon as Paro found out about it, so because of him, they did tshuva hard, you know, hardcore, deeper tshuva. They took more measures because of his Paro. But the initial tshuva wouldn't have been because of Hashikayach.
Oh, he was because he was their king and he had made that impression on them already as a people.
Yeah, but there's more of impact when the king has first-hand experience. Yeah, he knew that whatever they did wasn't enough. If he wouldn't have done that, they would have just let it go with that. They would have fasted, worn sackcloth, and waited out the 40 days.
Right.
When he found out about it, that's when he took the tshuva to a totally new level. Why did he roll in the dust? The Rabbi Benel explains, he rolled in the dust. Because rolling in the dust is a conduct which is befitting, I don't know what the word befitting, or it's definitely the way mourners are known to conduct themselves. A mourner, due to his sense of loss, a mourner that's been struck by death, will roll in the dust. Rolling in the dust is just, you know, it's a way of expressing it's all over. There's no hope. There's no future. You want to get back, you want to go back to the dust. The Rabbi Benel said, who is he mourning for? He was mourning for Nineveh because the destruction of Nineveh was a foregone conclusion. So he was mourning Nineveh. So he was in mourning. It was an act of mourning. I just think it's like it's pashut that, you know, in order, the understanding of this pasuk, a melech by definition is on a different level than his subjects. By definition, you know, Paro, he had a throne which was, it rose 70 stairs above everyone else. Right, so we say each stair was connected one of the 70 languages, but the point was is that he was above the 70. That means you have the 70 stairs. It's a parallel to each one of the 70 languages, which is a parallel to each one of the 70 nations. And he's above. That means there's a melech. He's not among them. He's above. That's the meaning of a melech. The pasuk says by a Jewish king, Saim tasim alecha melech. You should put a melech on top of you. We dash not from the shetehe emascha alecha. That his fear has to be upon you. And the Gemara says from there, based on that, Melech Shemachal al Kvoide ain't Kvoide Machal. A king cannot be Michael on his covet. You can be Michael your contemporary. You can be Michael your fellow being. But Melech, his covet is above. It's above and beyond. A father could be Michael, a Rebbe could be Michael, a Melech can't be Michael. Same Tasim Alecha Melech. There's a mitzvah that the awe, the fear of the king has to be on top of you. And if a melech could be Michael, then you're not afraid of him anymore. Obviously.
Hashem is not Michael.
Hashem relates to us as a melech. He also relates to us as an av. Avinu Malkeinu. In his relationship with us as an av, he could be Michael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us as a melech, that's when he's not Michael. So there are times when he is Michael, and there are times when he's not Michael. Kadosh Baruch Hu has different relationships with us at different times, based on us.
Although we could do tshuva for anything.
That means that because of our tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu will choose to relate to us as a father. The relationship described as king and subject is not open to mechila. Hashem is not limited by that. He could relate to us as a father. Hashem is neither a king nor a father. He just chooses those relationships.
Then why would a king just be a king and not a father also? Isn't a king like a father for a city? Which just sounds a little weird.
As I said, the kingdom needs this fear, this awe, this unfatherly awe, in order for the kingdom to function. If the king can be Michael, so then, you know, that's a loophole. And we know how people grasp at loopholes. We know very well that it doesn't have to be a very, very large one. The minute there's a way out, the person could be a mechutzav against the king. He could walk over to the king and he could fall asleep in the middle of his drasha. And the king will be Michael, or could be Michael, so there's no longer any more fear. The monarchy has to be absolute.
Can it be showing that the melech was greater because everyone else had said they just put on sackcloth and he said they took off?
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So what Paro was doing, he's saying, now is not the time to be above the people. Now it's not the time for me to be on a totally higher level. He said, the throne, that raises him above the people. It's geographically located higher. Went off the throne. His body, I have a different body than everyone else. My body is more precious than their body. So I have to wear special clothes. Took off the clothes. Put on sackcloth. And then he went down to the ground. The people didn't go down to the ground. So he's demonstrating that what you're doing is not enough. We have to go even further. He said, I started out, Paro, or whoever the king was, the king literally says, I started out higher than you, not high, even on a totally different level, and stage by stage, I'm taking this even further than you did yourself, than even the people. He said, we have to give up everything. We have to strip ourselves of everything. Otherwise, there's no hope. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't save people that put themselves in high places. As they say, you know, in a time of rage, you keep a low profile. You don't stick your neck out. Pasuk Zion today? Let's try it. Vayazik, and they cried out. Vayemer ben in, or they caused to cry out. Vayazik is the cause to cry out. Vayemer ben Ninveh mitam ha-melech, and it was said in Ninveh by virtue of the king. Ugudai love and his great men, Laimar saying, Ha'adam v'ha'behema, man and beast, Baka v'atzayim, cattle and sheep, Ayitam v'umma, they should not taste anything, Ayiru, they shouldn't go out to pasture, Umayim ayishtu, and they shouldn't drink. The Mephoshim talk about on this pasuk why the animals are fasting. Even the children, if you could understand the children, maybe there's some culpability with the children because these children, they're being brought up the wrong way. So unless you make a strong impact on them, they're going to grow up as adults, as rotten adults. But animals, what's the seichel? What's the understanding in not giving an animal to you to drink? Does anybody have an answer?
Maybe they were used for a beer.
That's not the animal's fault. And you're not correcting anything by them not eating. The Barbanel answers, and it's a similar aside by Shiluach HaKain. The Vilna Gaon explains the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKain. That you're supposed to, before taking the eggs, or little birdies, from a nest, you're obligated to send away the mother bird, and then take her away. There's many levels of understanding it, but the Vilna Gaon says that, on one level, when you send the mother away from her nest and take the birdies away, it causes her to cry out to Hashem. She says, Hashem, I used to take care of my nest. I watched over my birds. I can't do it anymore. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm calling out to you. Have compassion. And then it's Ma'ir Rachamim. And it's Ma'ir Rachamim. So once a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in a compassionate mode, we'll call it. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have moods, he has modes. Compassionate mode. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that there's other people that are in sorrow. There's other people that are away from their nest. There's other people that the mother bird isn't watching over them. And the Vilna Gaon says it's one of the mitzvahs which brings the gula closer. The Barbanel says that she said, in this pasuk, that the pasuk says, Eni kalilecha yisaberun. All creatures look forward to Kadosh Baruch Hu for their sustenance. If the animals are hungry, they're going to cry out to Hashem. They're going to cry out to Hashem. They're going to rouse Kadosh Baruch Hu's sympathy and compassion. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu will have compassion on us. The Mitzvah Shem will continue with this pasuk tomorrow.